This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe, one country at a time.
On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, we have Stefan.
Good evening.
Alex, myself, guten Abend, and Ian.
Hello.
And we have a special co-presenter tonight, Amal Liotolu, who is a key member of Planet Ally.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you, Amal.
Tonight, we're focusing on travel. What are the issues for LGBT travellers those working in the industry, and what impact do we have as travellers around the world?
We're talking to Bess Hepworth, who's from Adelaide but moved to Hong Kong 18 years ago. Bess is the founder of Planet Ally, a grassroots organisation established by queer women. Here's a taster of what's coming up tonight.
We talk about the LGBT travel market, and I think some people throw figures around of more than $200 billion is what the travel market is raking in, and this idea of the pink dollar. But I believe that there's a bit of a disconnect between those that travel and how we support movements on the ground.
It's going to be an interesting discussion.
And tonight we have a question for you to ponder. We hear a lot about boycotting countries with poor LGBT plus records, but if local LGBT organisations in these countries specifically asked you not to boycott, to travel to their country and support the economy there, what would you say to that proposal?
Yeah, what if grassroots organisations were saying, come to Brunei, come to Uganda, come and support our economy. Would you do that? And under what conditions? Now, the LGBT travel market, the pink dollar, is apparently worth billions, as you just heard in that little teaser before. How can we activate that power for good? What does it mean to be a good ally? At the weekend, I spoke to Bess Hepworth. She's based in Hong Kong, and she established Planet Ally.
So I'm not sure how many stories start like this, but I met a girl more than 16 years ago when I was in Adelaide. And in a former life, I was a high-performance football coach, and I was doing a lot of work on the football field. And there was a girl that ran around my football field, and I haven't been the same since. But this girl, my now wife, Kirsty, actually was a pilot and is a pilot, and Cathay Pacific train in Adelaide, they're cadets. So we kind of joke that Kirst came back with more than a license. So Hong Kong's been home for, more than 14 years now, and we've got two young kids, and I've lived most of that time in Hong Kong, and in the latter part of that time, I've been an activist in the LGBTIQ space, and I was always out in Adelaide. I was out, and I've been fortunate enough that I haven't needed to hide who I was, and I didn't feel the need in Hong Kong to necessarily get involved in LGBTIQ rights a decade ago, because I didn't feel like it was my place to do that. And so I worked in other community spaces, but as I soon learned 8 years ago, let's say, it wasn't quite the climate that it is now to have, people like Denise Ho and Gigi Chow and others who are, fantastic, visible Chinese role models for the community. And so I sort of got more and more involved and more visible because we were holding space, really. We were keeping the seat warm, as I like to say. But that is less important now. And so the work that Planet Ally does we see ourselves, we're based in Hong Kong, we're soon to be based in Australia, which I'm really excited about, but we see ourselves doing international work, but we're based here in Hong Kong, so we're well positioned to be in touch with what's happening locally, but also how that affects regional and international politics as well. For me, allyship has been something that I've seen as a journey, and that word can sometimes be used to be considered of someone that's not within the, you know, the spectrum of our rainbow community. But as we know, allyship is really crucial. Me, as a lesbian woman, I need to really think about my allyship to, you know, a fellow trans member of our community, or an intersex person, or an asexual community member. And so sometimes when people hear that we're called Planet Ally, they assume I'm just a straight woman, well-intentioned. But actually what we're doing is deep intersectional work. And we started making a bit of a name for ourselves through the movement of Rainbow Families. And we created the Asia Pacific Rainbow Families Forum. And so we've been running that for a couple of years now, and it's grown from 10 countries to 35, and we're going to be in Tonga in July. But actually the reason I set the company up, the NGO up, was because I was interested in the conversation around travel. And I mentioned that my wife is a pilot. I've noticed being gay in, you know, in Hong Kong, it is a very driven travel space, right? Lots of people can, in the same way that you would duck to Melbourne from Adelaide, people would duck to Thailand or Japan or somewhere in the Middle East. And so what I began noticing is that just because somebody was gay didn't mean that they necessarily knew their rights. And there were a couple of different issues that would crop up with different people having trouble with border security, having issues, and more publicly seeing that play out in the news, you know, different people being detained, just for sheer fact that they were travelling in a country and trying to be a tourist. So that sparked my interest. But the more I got involved in grassroots movements, and the more that we see not just what we say shrinking spaces, but actual active closing spaces, you know, of civil society, particularly LGBTIQA spaces being closed by governments, it's how are we going to find ways to fund the movement? And I think, you know, we talk about the LGBT travel market, and I think some people throw figures around of more than $200 billion is what the travel market is, you know, is raking in, and this idea of the pink dollar or the pink bar, no matter where you travel. But I believe that there's a bit of a disconnect between those that travel and how we support movements on the ground. So we started delving into this, and that's how our event Miles of Love was born. But Planet Ally is essentially a few queer women who are based around the world, and many of us in Hong Kong and Australia, and we're really looking at how we can be allies to our movement and how we can create spaces for advocacy for, you know, people with diverse sexual orientation, gender identities and sexual characteristics.
Now, we're talking to Bess Hepworth, and she's in Hong Kong there, and Bess Hepworth set up Planet Ally. And we're very lucky that we've got Ameo from Planet Ally, who's based in Melbourne, also with us. Ameo, tell us a bit about your story. How did you get involved?
It was through the Rainbows Family Asian Pacific Forum, which was in Hong Kong last year or the year before. And I just saw a post on Facebook and became interested because I was in a relationship that involved children, but it was kind of a queer dynamic to it. So that's how I became involved. And then there was another event that came up, which was Human Dignity Festival. And there was just a connection. But what I loved was the space to hold conversations around intersectionality, gender, culture, LGBTIQ stuff, and seeing the work that she had done previously was of great interest to myself.
I'm interested what the rest of you make of this idea of allies. It's having that conversation with Bess made me think a little bit differently about allies.
Yeah, I was quite interested in that comment she said early on about most people assume that she's a straight woman who's, you know, LGBTI friendly, and that's what most people would consider allies probably as a standard definition, but actually it's way more than that. And it's also about, you know, some of the topics we'll be talking about later tonight, such as, you know, trans issues and identifying, you know, being the broader rainbow community and supporting one another within that, the intersectionality that you mentioned, yeah.
And I guess when we think about Joy, we have lots of people who are not necessarily identifying as LGBT listening to Joy, and you are very welcome allies. You're listening to Joy, and this is World Wide Wave.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
So we're talking all things travel and advocacy. What can we do to be ethical travellers and be good allies to the LGBTI community around the globe? So we're talking to Bess Hepworth, who established Planet Ally.
I just wanted to ask you, you said this is a group which is a grassroots organisation established by queer women.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, to be really honest with you, I've only just started saying that in the last year. And it's something that it just has made me realise that there is a distinct lack of feminist, queer feminist movements. And the ones that we do see are absolutely badass and extraordinary. And, you know, there's the Frida Feminist Fund. You know, you look at some of the different global organisations that are feminist-led, and their wonderful principles and the way that they hold space, not just for queer feminist movements, but for the entire movement. And I think we've underestimated how important it is to really identify as a women's-led international NGO, because, you know, we're small and mighty and we're striving, and we're only 3 years old, and we're coming up to our sixth international event that we would have run, which is a little ambitious. But again, I'm lucky to benefit the nepotism from my previous jobs and the connections that that's given me globally as well.
Could you say a little bit more about so much of what we do by default is often talking about gay men, let's be honest. Queer feminism, why don't we see more queer feminism, and why is it so important?
Well, okay, so I think my answer would be different now. I'm in my mid-40s, and I am a rainbow mum, and we've got my wife and I have two wonderful little bear cub sons that are 5 and 7. But I think it takes a little bit of privilege to even create that space. I think it takes a little bit of a gumption and get up and go. And I think me living in Hong Kong, that's been a huge gift of seeing how people are movers and shakers, really, really. And this has been an incredible space for me to be able to test out ideas. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just that women in general, and again, there are some wonderful gay cis men out there, but I think we really are getting more and more honest about the role of privilege and where that plays out, whether it's your Caucasian privilege, whether it's your, you know, gendered privilege, whatever that privilege is. And I think it's been hard for those that are in positions of power, predominantly in the funding realm, have been gay cis men. And that's starting to change. There are a few incredible feminist movements that are really pushing through. But it's how do you find that funding? And we are completely self-funded, unfunded right now. We run all of our events without grant funding, which is a little unheard of and a little ambitious. But again, we're very lucky, and we've got professional women. One of my colleagues, Sophia Sheck, is an independent film producer, and so we're able to create videos quite cheaply. And so we're lucky to be able to... We look a whole lot more professional at times than we really are. But I think it goes back to that funding, as I said, about positions, you know, power structures, and, you know, don't make me typecast as like the angry feminist getting all fired up about the patriarchy. But there is a lot of truth to looking at the evolution of that. And I think because I do have a bit of a background working with the US organizations, and I really needed to map that space to be effective in my role previously, the AIDS epidemic definitely created more opportunities for more HIV and AIDS. Really, really important work to be done. But what that also did is meant that more men were in those positions of power and funding. And so I haven't tested this theory academically. I've not read any books about this, but I do see a bit of a pattern. And even when I'm traveling to conferences around the world for the human rights work that I do, there is that sort of rather large gay cis white elephant in the room. And it does play out, and it does cause some, I don't know if it's distrust, but it's definitely something we need to own. And there's a little bit more, talk about this and narrative in the global movement now.
You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy, and that was Beth Hepworth talking to us, Beth Hepworth from Planet Ally, talking to us about ethical travelling allies and LGBTI support. Now, we have a message from Adrian from Sydney. We need to be allies for each other within the LGBTIQAA++ community. Speaking up for bisexual or trans people is so important right now. And I think it hits a chord here.
Absolutely. And I think we might have spoken to Adrian a couple of weeks ago. Amaya, let's go to you. About being, you describe yourself as a queer woman?
Correct.
How important is it to have these spaces, and what's the conversation we need to have?
I think it's important because, as Bess was saying, certain individuals being in roles of power, and so it's being able to try and have an engagement or a conversation around whatever issues pertain or are underlying that do need to be discussed, and being able to open it up to the wider community, not staying within our own realms, but being open to having a conversation with your, say, junior neighbour or someone from a different culture. And being able to open that up, you may not necessarily agree. And I think for myself personally, I'm not looking for someone to be in agreement with. But if you can have an open dialogue to have the conversation of, oh, and I actually never saw it like that. So coming back to Bess's comment about, individuals being in power, maybe challenging that and being open to go, I've got a different perspective, let's have a conversation. So in terms of having a queer women's group, encouraging women to take ownership or to be able to create platforms to continue or to have conversation. If something's not being talked about, let's go and create a forum that we can have those discussions.
I think that's right, but I'm sort of... What's the role then of, in your opinion, of cis gay men, which, you know, as you have, we have a lot of power, we have a lot of privilege, let's be really clear about this. What's our role in just getting out the way, I suppose?
I think it's, we all need allies. And so my own personal take on it is, look, I won't diminish who you are or what you are. What I'd love to have is a deeper, is a connection that will say, look, if you can help me out, that'd be great. I can help you out. And just being able to connect.
These are some really important discussions. I'd love to hear what some of our listeners are thinking. You're listening to Worldwide Wave. We're talking to people from Planet Ally.
Turn us on and we'll turn it out. Joy.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
Now, we are next talking to Bess Hepworth, and we're talking we've been talking about what it means to be a queer women's group, but in the next section we're talking about advocacy, what some of the work Planet Ally has been doing, and whether a boycott is ever appropriate.
Regard to Chechnya, what I discovered is in us working out, well, what's the best way for us to be an ally? How do we raise money? And so we wanted to find a way to raise some immediate money, because the biggest issue was getting people out of the country, or at least out of Chechnya. And in doing some research, I came across a fabulous organisation called Rainbow Railroad. They're based in Canada and they help LGBTIQA people leave in moments of persecution. But one way that you can help support them is to donate your air miles. I seized an opportunity to talk to my team and say, you know what, I think there's something in this. I think we could try to fundraise around this idea of donating air miles. And so it was just something that people didn't realise as a call to action that they could do. And so we were able to really, what I was most proud about that is not just that we were doing that, is that our small little humble intentions on the ground here were able to create a wider ripple effect well outside of Hong Kong, outside of Australia, but around the world. That, I think, where we've struck a bit of, you know, opportunity to raise the spotlight is finding movements within the movement. These kind of initiatives are really important to spotlight. I know that that lit a fire in me and others to be able to look at how people can leverage their privilege and influence and network to be able to support movements. And so I think that that's one example that's very underrated. And for people to be able to donate their air miles, what that enabled Rainbow Railroad to do is have more opportunities to literally pull people out of Chechnya. But they do this in Jamaica, in parts of Africa, you know, all around the world. And right now we're seeing what's going on in Uganda, and, you know, it's kicked off all over again. So, I mean, Planet Allies working behind the scenes right now with some Ugandans to try to support how we can get them out of the country. But it's a very delicate and sensitive issue. And one of the problems is that in a place like Uganda, when you have communities outed, and then they're outed so viciously on the, you know, the Red Pepper newspapers and others, where names are printed and people's homes, their home addresses are published, their phone numbers are published, then what you need is people need to either get out of that country, and if they're able to do that and not getting caught, you know, fleeing. But the other thing they need to do is change their names and change their passport names. And that can take such a long time, you know, in the bureaucracy of that. And so that's what we're seeing as a huge issue right now in Uganda, is that you've got people that are known and targeted in the community, but they're not able to leave. Now, what we're trying to do behind the scenes is make sure that once this paperwork is sorted, that we do actually have funds that we can share. But to be perfectly honest, Planet Allies is not trying to do the kind of work that's already being done. I see us more as a bit of a sheepdog and rounding up the ideas. So again, when Chechnya came to the fore earlier this year, we worked with All Out, Rainbow Railroad and Amnesty International, and Amnesty International Australia specifically, to find the calls to action so that people knew, was it a petition, was it donating money, was it air miles, was it writing a letter to a government, what was their thing? And so I think what we're trying to do, we're very, you know, we're literally a handful of people, but going forward is being the connector and the bridge builder between fantastic initiatives.
The response that we see very often when something like that is shared, or another issue is shared, say the Brunei story, which we had last year, is, well, I should boycott that country, or I'll share that and I'll post online. How awful that is. Maybe Barack Obama would describe that.
I mean, I am not pro-boycott, and the reason for that is because I struggle now, having made so many deep connections to grassroots movements. When the global public turn their back on a country because it's not a news story or because it's a boycott, and then they just dismiss it, they're dismissing thousands of people that still need that help. And so I think it's so important to still travel to countries as long as your safety is not compromised. That's 100% important. There are countries that I am definitely blacklisted from now, and there are countries that I will not travel to. And being the wife of a pilot, she can't necessarily have certain countries, because of my digital footprint, jeopardized, cursed in her work, which is not ideal. But there's the real reality of that, and human rights defenders being targeted. And I'm lucky because I'm a privileged defender. I don't face the front line very often. It's not, you know, I'm safe in my world to try to do the things to support defenders that are quite literally risking their life on the ground. But what was interesting with Brunei as well is it's a country that, you know, it's such a small country in comparison. And unlike Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, where perhaps Australian tourists might travel to, they're less like, they might go to Borneo on the border, but they're less likely to go to Brunei. But straight away, that conversation of boycott comes up. But when you actually, you touched on the nuance bit, and I think this is really key, is you want to act and you want to have those calls to action, and your heart breaks and you get fired up when there's an issue. But if you're going to cause more harm and you're not going to communicate on the ground to these countries and the defenders on the ground that are doing the actual work and are the most, you know, most effective at knowing what they need, is the worrying thing when boycotts pop up. So, you know, even in Australia, there were some boycott movements, and no disrespect to some of those that created that, but I did discover that some of those boycotts were set up without any conversation with the Bruneian human rights community. And in fact, Brunei has a group called the Brunei Project, and it's set up by a fellow South Aussie, Matthew Wolf, because he was a tourist when many years ago Brunei first rolled out their first phase of Sharia law death penalty. And he was so moved and couldn't find a human rights organisation on the ground in Brunei. He rolled his sleeves up and worked with Brunei and predominantly gay and trans community members on the ground to actually form some base of support. But when you talk to the Bruneians and you talk to Matthew, they didn't want boycotts because what that does is harm other parts of the community. And also, if you're a non-Muslim country, that's not going to be the impact that needs to be made. But there were interesting things about how the Sultan himself could be affected, like taking away his doctorate from Oxford, or, you know, looking at the airline that Royal Brunei Air, I think it's Lufthansa, that lend their airline, their planes to the Sultan. Look at economic sanctioning as opposed to straight up boycott, because that really hurts the community on the ground, and that's not the idea. The state sponsored hate that we see is not the community members on the ground that are just going about their day. So when a country does this, it doesn't mean the entire country should be tarred that they are all haters. That's not the case at all. You know, even in countries like Saudi Arabia, in Iran, there's an amazing Iranian group called Six Rang of incredible queer defenders that are doing such extraordinary work. So I feel incredibly humbled that we are able to have the relationships with, you know, the Russian LGBT network and the Iranians and Bruneians and others that trust us. And then we reach out to them and say, what's the best use of us for you? You tell us what to do, and we'll communicate that for you, and we'll find the people that have got more network and more influence. So I think we play a small, humble role, but trying to do the big picture dot connecting that hopefully has a bigger effect.
That was Beth Hepworth talking to from Planet Allies, talking about travel advocacy, LGBTI and allies. So we've got a couple of messages. Adrian saying there are a lot of LGBT people who work in tourism and hospitality, so boycotting can take away their income to live. And also, most gay guys hang out with gay guys and lesbian hang out with lesbian. How do you get people together more?
Well, I think that, I mean, this is an issue we've discussed before, and it's going to come up in one of our rap stories as well, about this divide. And I've had conversations with colleagues about this who, you know, disagreed with me that there is such a thing as a rainbow community. But I think we need to understand that there's different layers of our community, and, you know, wouldn't go and advocate that the Laird is going to overnight become, you know, the type of venue that everyone goes to, because clearly lesbian women are not going to go there because it's not their cup of tea. They're not looking to cruise men. I think when we need to realise that there's another dimension to our community, and that's the role I feel that cultural cultural programs play a part, you know, whether it's the Queer Film Festival, whether it's Midsummer, Mardi Gras, Pride Marches, that's when we can come together and still realise that we need to support one another on a broader level. But it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, don't have men-only bars and women-only bars. I don't, if the people feel they want those venues, then I don't have an issue. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm just wondering what you were talking. Should people feel comfortable everywhere, or can there be some places reserved?
I think it's maybe when transitioning.
Of the
yeah. I mean, population. We're saying, look at the young generation, look at the Melbourne's gay scene. When I was in my 20s, there was like dozens of venues, and now there's we're down to five or something, or maybe a bit more, five gay men's venues. I think the younger generation are basically becoming more diverse in their interests and not necessarily looking for the male-only bars. So maybe that's just natural evolution and our generation still clinging to, you know, I don't know.
We've gotten another message now from 653 saying countries with Sharia law are better to avoid. As my home country, as I can't avoid the next best thing is to hide your sexual preference / act straight. I feel threatened staying in the same country I was born in, and it's really overwhelming to take. So,
yeah,
I mean, thing that put the boycott issue in perspective. Should you go to places where you don't feel safe?
Well, no. I mean, I think we were talking off air, weren't we, about Chechnya. It's probably where most of us would draw the line due to our own safety concerns. You don't want to go somewhere where you're putting your own life into danger, but...
Yeah. But I've certainly been to countries where being LGBT is illegal.
Yeah.
And I've contributed to their economies. Ameo?
I think especially for trans and gender diverse people, going through airports or going to different countries can be problematic and be an issue. And so our safe, you know, going for us creating safe spaces or trying to find safe spaces where we feel safe at the end of the day. So,
and that's something, again, we are talking about understanding how they're putting yourselves in other people's shoes. Like, it's something we don't, as gay men, don't necessarily even think about, or lesbians, you know, but...
I think we've only scratched the surface. I spoke to Bess for about 40 minutes on Saturday. I'm going to put the whole podcast up. But there are a whole series of events you sort of talked about at the beginning of her interviews that are happening in Australia and in Hong Kong. Can you tell us a bit about what they are?
Okay, so our big one that's happening is LGBTIQA+ travel advocacy event that's coming up on the 13th of November, and that's happening in Adelaide. We've also will be featured at we have a panel to do around climate change at the queer displacements, and that's with I think it's Tina Dixon that's running the ropes there.
We spoke to her a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago on the show.
Well, there's an event called Queer Displacements, which we will be at. Also a sideline event with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Travel.
You're going to Canberra?
In Sydney. That one will be in Sydney. And we've also got, we go to Hong Kong to do Miles of Love in Hong Kong. And around that time also we will have a trans remembrance event that we will be part of as well.
So it's a huge number of events covering such a breadth of topics, which we've only, as I said, touched the surface of this evening. And where can we find out more information about that?
Okay, we do have an Instagram and Facebook page and also a website. So it's Planet Ally. ally.org, and so there will be information up on there on how, you know, what we do, how one can become involved, and what the events that are going on.
Thank you. Another message.
Yeah, I think that, and that's a very good point from 653. Multicultural LGBTQ people in Australia feel lonely. So
this issue has been much talked to on Joy, isn't it?
And as you were saying before, like it's layered, like individuals come with layered situations or issues. So as a person from a cultural background, I hear what this person has texted through, because I've also experienced that, having to go into or trying to affirm or push myself into spaces that are predominantly white.
Mm.
And so it's just being able to try and find where I can engage, where I can feel, okay, this is my community, I'd like to be a part of it. So it's just trying to affirm myself into spaces which are predominantly white spaces. Mm.
And I think we all need to acknowledge that that's a real issue that needs to be averted, and we need to make that open.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Now, thank you to Bess and to Ameo from Planet Ally for... really stimulating a super discussion. I think we did some speaking of truth to power tonight. Thank you so much.
We did. I like tonight's combo. It's really heated.
We had messages on Facebook, and for all those people who were coming into us by SMSs on as well. Behind the scenes, we've got our podcast of the Dearest Alex.
You're welcome.
And I'm social media master Dean.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.